power of truth lies in truth's generic and specific wholeness, as applied through this Christian system of healing disease. And its Christian nature is described there on 150, line 7, as the coming anew of on earth peace, goodwill to men. Coming down that paragraph, physical healing demonstrates the system's divine origin. Line 18. But the system has a higher mission than this. And its higher mission, like that of the sacrificial Lamb of God in the New Testament, is to take away the sins of the world. Lines 16 and 17. Now down to line 28. Because in this case, man can never really be thrust out of his body in a specific sense, because man, generically, the body of mind itself was never, in the first place, thrust out of mind. And therefore, 150.32, the human mind and body as such are myths. Just as the hosts of Aesculapius, the god of medicine appearing as the hosts of Materia Medica, are wholly mythological. Infinite mind, 151.4, knows there is no outside to itself. Erring finite mind is the myth that there is a location outside of mind to which man has fallen. Finite mind, therefore, has an absolute need of what is outside of itself, namely, infinite mind. And so in the marginal heading, line 19, man is governed by mind. Man, body, never having broken away from his all-governing mind, therefore man deathless. No separation, therefore no fear. No death of the body, because no fear ever to stop being and its action. Being, little b, man, is the living body of life, God, line 20. And therefore, in the life which is mind, line 27, the entire being, man, is found harmonious and eternal, not made so, but found to be so. And thus, 150.32 to over the page, mortal mind with its mortal body is a myth, and yields to truth, capital T, because, of course, truth is specifically the opposite of mythology. And now there follow various illustrations of the way in which, in the myth, mortal mind seems to govern mortal body, such as in the case of the thermometer on line 16. All these cases are answered by the metaphysics of Christian science. Line 22. Now, the practice of homeopathy affords useful illustrations of the pseudo-metaphysical way in which mortal thought rises above matter to mind, little m. Hence, on 153.11, the highest attenuation of homeopathy and the most potent rises above matter into mind. The word metaphysics is made up, as we know, of meta, above, and physics. But the metaphysics in this sense of homeopathy are far from being the metaphysics of Christian Science, which are already above matter and in the realm of mind itself. Clearly, the attenuations of homeopathy, where the drug is reduced to its essence, mortal mind, find their divine opposite in the reduction of divine metaphysics to the healing system of Christian Science. Now, instances of mortal mind seeming to determine the condition of and to control mortal body follow one another down 154 to the top of 155, and then we come to the paragraph beginning 155.3, which returns us once more to the theme of the universal and the individual, the generic and the specific. And we have there, line 4, general belief, line 6, individual confidence, general faith, line 8, general belief, again, line 11, individual dissent or faith, line 12, universal belief, line 15, general belief again, line 17. Because unless individual faith rests on science, line 13, that is to say, on the science of divine science and Christian Science as we had it back there on page 149, it is but a belief held by a minority and is governed by the majority. And this majority belief, or universal belief, or popular belief, as it is called there on line 21, works against the high and mighty truths of Christian metaphysics or Christian Science. And line 19, the percentage of power on the side of this science must mightily outweigh the power of popular belief in order to heal a single case of disease. And the paragraph ends by showing how the human mind, not mortal mind, but human mind, which is like the second degree in the second translation on page 115, must cease to put its weight into the material and fleshly scale. That's the first degree, and must put it instead into the spiritual scale, the third degree, where it actually yields to mind, capital M itself. Now the answer to all this majority and minority question in science lies in the fact that the only number is one. The infinite one. One infinite mind. Whereby the one on the side of this mind is the all-powerful majority, and no matter what the number of mortal minds believing otherwise, these are reduced, rendered the impotent minority. Individual thought rests on science when it rests on this majority of one. Now over to 156, where we see a case of dropsy being healed mentally by the homeopathic method. And then at the bottom of 156, we are told what the metaphysics of Christian science are specifically in contrast to homeopathy rising above matter into mind, little m. In the metaphysics of Christian science, which is the healing system of divine metaphysics, matter is not there. And line 31, mind takes its rightful and supreme place. And thus, the principle of healing in Christian science is mind. 157, 4 to 5. Where the whole force of the mental element is employed through the science of mind, which never shares its rights with inanimate matter. And this great fundamental fact is repeated on 157.9. The curative principle of Christian science is mind. Now, narcotics at the bottom of the page, such as, for example, opium, cannabis, and all the hemp drugs, have the effect of quieting mortal mind and so of relieving the body. Actually, they produce, in belief, profound sleep, torpor, and insensibility. On the other hand, Christian science, in leaving its impress on the corporeality, brings out the proof that life, capital L, is continuous and harmonious. Life, capital L, continuous and harmonious. And this profound pathology, as it is called on line 32, well, it certainly affects a profound awakening and not a profound hypnotic sleep. The body has its life in mind, capital M, and not its death in unconscious mortal mind or matter. Life is continuous and harmonious because mind and its body are indivisibly one. And this is experienced when body, man, is found never to have been cut off from its governing mind, God. And now, again, on 158, as we see in the marginal heading there, we have the relationship of materia medica to basic mythology. Apollo, god of medicine, typifies specifically through the concept of materia medica the entire myth of fallen man. That is, he is banished from heaven, line 14, and endures great sufferings on earth. And therefore, materia medica, typical of the hypnotic, narcotic, unconscious dream of mortality as a whole, originates in idolatry and paganism, which itself originates in mythology, and therefore all mortality is mythology, the opposite of immortality, which is divine science. Drugs of whatever kind, mineral, vegetable, animal, as medicinal drugs, narcotic, alcoholic, psychedelic drugs, drugs in the form of hypnotism, religious, ecstasy, sex, etc., are all fundamentally the workings of mortal mind, whose subjective state is matter, in contrast to the workings of the dignity and potency of divine mind and its power to heal. Line 17. Another illustration of these workings of the myth of mortal mind on its substratum, matter, comes on 159, where the woman does not die because of the ether she inhales, but from the fear of inhaling it, so that the cause of death is mental and not physical. Now, 159, line 23. Because the state of man must be learned from mind, capital M, and not from matter, as is supposed by the medical schools. Mind, capital M, is the source of all true knowledge regarding the state of man, whereas matter is the false source of knowledge. There, the marginal heading, line 25. In fact, what really concerns us is, as we turn over now to 160, line 6, what concerns us is the innate power of the body's own mind. Line 2, and therefore the health and harmony of this mind's own body. In contrast to the workings of so-called mortal mind and its body. Down to 169, line 9. Mortal mind governs its body voluntarily and consciously in the case of the moving of the arm, but involuntarily, unconsciously in the case of the action of the viscera. The reason this so-called mortal mind, line 12, seems in the end to quit its own body, so that the heart becomes as torpid as the hand, is the fundamental mythology that body, man, once rebelled against and quit its own immortal mind. The understanding in science that man never quit, never fell from God in the first place, makes it impossible for there to be a mind, little m, quitting its own body in the second. Now remember that the basic teaching of this whole chapter is translation as against death. translation from mythology to science, or from what seems to be mortal mind to immortal mind. Nerves, line 14, convey the mandate of mind to muscle. Well, what's the translation of this? Nerves are the muscles, that is the body's communication system that circulates from and to the brain throughout the whole body. Translated metaphysically, this activity becomes that of Word, Christ, Christianity. Mind, Word, message, Christ message, man, body, as in Christianity. Everything returning to mind in science, instead of returning to brain in the myth of mortal mind. Now at the top of 161, it is mortal mind, not matter, which says, I have burned my finger. When, on the other hand, the I is immortal mind, as in the case of the Hebrew captives in the Babylonian furnace, the holy inspiration which results from this acknowledgement of what the I really is creates states of mind which nullify the action of the flames. And in the next paragraph, man, endowed by his Maker with the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and happiness, as is acknowledged in the United States Declaration of Independence, is body, forever endowed by its mind with all these qualities. The united state of man learned from mind. This very system of independent, interdependent states, all united under one head or government, is a symbol of world body and its one all-governing mind. In this case, no guillotine, line 22, can operate falsely in the name of liberty. For mind and body, God and man, are one and indivisible, and therefore body cannot lose its governing head. And so, over to page 162. All that we've been pondering as the chapter now draws to a close is Christian Science, the original discovery, bringing to the body the sunlight of truth, capital T, which invigorates and purifies it. Christian Science acts as an alterative, neutralizing error with truth. Therefore, Christian Science, the alterative, is the same as truth, the alterative in the marginal heading. Because there is only one kind of body, namely man as he is in truth or Christian Science, secretions change, humors are expelled, tumors dissolve, and so on. Why? Because the human mind has changed its base. Line 10, has yielded to divine mind. And it is the sunlight of truth which has done it. The sun's light. The light of the sun, inseparable from the sun itself as the source of this light, is body in relation to mind. Body, man can no more quit its mind, God, and remain body than light can quit its source and remain light. Likewise, truth, little t, cannot quit truth, capital T, and remain truth. To suppose that this has happened in the shape of fallen mortal man would make truth error instead of truth. Error is simply the supposititious departure of truth, little t, from truth, capital T. Line 12. Mind, governing its body in this way, in every instance, is spirit. Line 14. Maintaining the indestructibility of its own faculties, that is, the proper functioning of this body. I remember back on 130.22, where we had the ability of spirit to make the body harmonious, that is, in its total functioning. Spirit able to do this because spirit's body, the only body, is already totally harmonious. And on line 17, the rules of science worked out in practice heal both acute and chronic disease, whether it be organic or functional. According to this text, it requires a fuller understanding of the principle of Christian science to heal organic disease than it does to heal functional, because a higher rule is involved. And one is reminded of something that we learned a long way back in the second chapter. It was on page 31 of the book, where a full understanding of principle triumphs over death. And so, there is an order, an understanding of principle relative to functional disease, where simply movement, circulation, order are upset, a fuller understanding relative to organic disease, where basic structure is affected, and thirdly, the full understanding itself, which demonstrates the nothingness of death. Well, now, from 162.29 to 164.8, we are shown Materia Medica itself confessing to its own shortcomings. And this we won't go into. But before we do come to the chapter's two final paragraphs, it might be well just to translate that symbol of Homer's Cyclops on 164.2, groping in the dark around his cave, because this, according to Dr. Chapman, professor of the Institutes and Practice of Physic in the University of Pennsylvania typifies the gropings of materia medica. So let's translate Cyclops into the science of mind healing. Because in the myth, Cyclops has only one centrally placed eye. And we remember how Jesus said, if thine eye be single, if mind to you is one and one only, then the whole body of consciousness in which you dwell will be full of the light of this one infinite, all-medicining mind. And therefore, to sum up line 12, the difference is between all human systems, in the plural, based on material premises, in the plural, which are minus the unction of divine science, and the system, singular, of divine metaphysics itself, which is forever bathed in this unction, and which, as the woman's leaven referred to in the early pages of this chapter, is even now at work in world consciousness, raising the whole body of humanity from the dead. The unction of divine science is divine science's own quality of absolute oneness and indivisibility. In the Roman Church, what is called extreme unction is administered to the dying in order, supposedly, to ensure their safe transit to heaven. And so, in the final paragraph, the subject is victory over death. And this paragraph, incidentally, was added to the textbook as late as June 1907, 3 years before the close of the founding mission, and at the same time as, according to the preface on page 12, line 20, the author read this book throughout consecutively for the first time in order to elucidate her idealism. And this was also the year when the answer to the fundamental question in recapitulation, what is God, reached its final form. Namely, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. The implication is that from its first page, page 107, to its last, page 164, this chapter, Science, Theology, Medicine, instructing us in the very essence of Christian science itself, typifies the range of the founder's mission from 1866, the year of the initial discovery, through 1907 to 1910, or to where, if you or I should appear to die. Well, line 17, we should not be dead. The seeming decease caused by a majority of ignorant human beliefs that man must die, or produced maliciously by mental assassins, And the word assassin in the dictionary signifies secret murder committed under the influence of hashish, that is, under the hypnotic influence of unconscious mortal mind. This would simply confirm Christian Science's basic proposition that mortal thoughts in belief rule the materiality miscalled life in the body. That is, the physiological concept of life as detailed in the coming seventh chapter. Well, in spite of all evidence to the contrary, line 23, 24, the forever fact remains paramount that life, truth, and love save from sin, disease, and death. Surely, in this combination of terms, life, truth, and love, we find the very unction of divine science itself. The balm of the absolute oneness of being, the absolute indivisibility of life, the absolute wholeness of truth, the absolute universality of love, save from sin, disease, and death. And so corruption puts on incorruption, and mortality puts on immortality, line 27, which is divine science with its unction. And the result is translation and not death. Death is swallowed up in victory, so that you and I do not even appear to die. Now, the word corrupt is from a root meaning to break. Only as the one unbroken, incorruptible body of Christ, only by coming forth together from the same divine principle as the body of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love, word, Christ, Christianity, science, sciences, divine science, and Christian science, both absolute and applied, will we find the spiritual reality of man, translate the death-dealing, schismatic concept of life, and so swallow up physiology in victory. Putting on immortality, that is, divine science, instead of the raiment in the scriptural quotation over there on page 165 at the beginning of the physiology chapter, our life and our body will be found to be the life and the body, the living wholeness of Christian science.
End of summary of science, theology, medicine.